The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship-winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stolen.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. PuntandPass.com. The number one destination for all things college football. Week 8 is in the books. Georgia was on their bye week. We are headed towards the second half of the season. Next week is Halloween. Jake, next week is the first official college football playoff ranking. Soon enough, this thing's really going to come into focus, and we'll see who are the contenders, who are the pretenders. But it starts this coming weekend. We got some good matchups. How are you, my man?
Hey, man, doing great. It's going to be very interesting to see how the college football playoff, what they put a lot of meat on, like what do they like, strength of schedule-wise, who are they liking? Because there's a lot of good football teams out there, and I think it's anybody's shot to go and make a run at this thing. Great weekend for college football, even though the Dogs weren't playing, a plethora of great football games.
Yeah, there was a lot of SEC action that we'll touch on, some crazy finishes and happenings around the country. We will get to that as well. First things first, I want to let you know that this episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Solomon Brothers Jewelers. Family owned and operated since 1982, Solomon Brothers has the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. They have the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. They also have an unbelievable watch selection. If you just closed a big deal or you want to treat yourself with the holiday season coming up or get your significant other to treat you, guys, you know, you can stick up for yourself every now and then. I know we always have to get the ladies a nice piece of jewelry and you always go to Solomon Brothers for that, but flip this thing on its head. Tell your lady friend, tell your girl, tell your partner, whoever it is. Head on over to Solomon Brothers. Check out that watch selection. Daddy needs a new timepiece. Solomon Brothers is the store for anyone with any budget. If you head on in and you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. Two awesome locations. One in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other, 17th floor Tower Place in Buckhead. Check them out on Instagram and Twitter at Solomon Brothers, solomonbrothers.com. All right, so Georgia did not play this past weekend. However, they do still remain number one in the AP poll. Jake, the Dogs are atop the polls for the 19th consecutive week. They also open up against Florida this weekend, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Georgia, Florida, in Jacksonville. The Dogs are 14.5-point favorites. Anything surprising there? Florida, of course, coming off a bye week as well. They seem to be playing some pretty good football down in Gainesville. All bets are off when you head down to Jacksonville.
Yeah, man, it's a big rivalry game. I know that I always looked forward to playing in this football game. It meant a lot to me just going down there and whipping up on those guys. It's basically a home game for them. And then so whenever you can go to their place and whip up on them, man, it's always a good time and always fun. But I would not sleep on Florida, man. I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to be swinging
nothing hard to lose.
I think they're going to connect on a few punches. And I think it all depends on what kind of plan that they have, what their coaches cook and scheme up, and then how good Graham Mertz plays at quarterback. He's had some really, really good showings, some really good games. So if Georgia's secondary has a hard time kind of containing him, I think they could be in for a long, long day and a long night. A lot similar to how Dan Mullen and Kyle Trask kind of got after him a little bit.
Wow.
In 2020. I mean, that just, I don't know. I'm not saying that it's going to be a game like that by any means, but that to me is the way Florida wins, is playing similar to how they did in 2020.
Yeah, spread things out. It's pretty clear by now. If you want to attack Georgia, get on the perimeter of their defense, get your playmakers the ball in space, see if they make a mistake, and you could potentially find a lot of chunk explosive plays. I saw a fascinating tweet thread from @Dr_JWill. That's Jonathan Williams, a writer for Dogs Daily Fan Nation, I think. Fan-sided, Fan Nation, a Sports Illustrated channel. And he put up a ton of stats about Georgia and Florida. And of course, we're going to break down this game way more on Thursday's episode of Punt and Pass. But one that really jumped out to me: Florida ranks 109th in the country in third down conversion rate. Only Mississippi State and Auburn rank lower than the Gators in the SEC. And on the flip side, Georgia's defense ranks first in the country on third down, with opponents only converting 23.6% of the time. That right there could be the story of the game. If Georgia does not allow Florida to sustain drives, if Florida gets in trouble on third down, if Georgia's defense gets off the field, and then of course, hey, this is Carson Beck's first time with Brock Bowers on the field. Carson, a little homecoming game. He's from Jacksonville. I'm just going to tell you right now, that makes me worried a little bit. A lot of extracurriculars when you go down there. You're from Jacksonville, your friends, your family, you know all about this rivalry. Without Brock, I'm just saying, it makes me a little bit worried that from a mental standpoint, there might be a lot going on upstairs. I think Georgia just needs to run the ball, set the line of scrimmage, get after it. Kirby's going to have those boys ready for a 60-minute fight.
Yeah, no doubt, man. If I'm Carson right now, it's something that's said in our building all the time. Whatever it is, whatever the distraction is, family, tickets, who's coming to the game, I don't know, who's coming afterwards, what are we doing? Whatever it is, don't let it get in the way, man. It's just all about having a good week of practice, understanding, knowing the plan, and man, how are we going to convert on third down and stay on the field without Brock Bowers?
I know. Hopefully Ladd gets healthy as well, dealing with the nagging back. He, of course, sat out the second half of that Vanderbilt game. But look, coming off a bye. And Florida's coming off a bye as well. Probably the healthiest Georgia's going to be, assumingly, for the rest of the season. And don't look now, but the next four games, Florida right now is ranked actually 26th. They are the first team out of the AP Top 25 poll. Then you've got Missouri, who's ranked, I believe, 16th. Then you've got Ole Miss, who's ranked 13th. You got Tennessee, who's ranked 21st. So this is it. Dogs got to get ready to go. The bye week seemed to have come at a great time. You mentioned something that's always said in your building: don't let it become a distraction. You also always talk about how Sam Howell loves to discuss his UNC Tar Heels.
Dude.
Man, they lost to Virginia at home, 31-27. So UNC undefeated, no more. They take a big L against the Virginia Cavaliers. And in the ACC, Florida State took down Duke 38-20. So it looks like Florida State has the serious inside track to win the ACC championship.
Yeah, no, they definitely do. I can't believe this happened. I know Sam was devastated. I know we were kind of halfway watching this game in between meeting times on Saturday night before our game.
Yeah.
I can't believe Virginia pulled it out, especially on the road at UNC. I kind of feel for UNC a little bit, because they kind of had, you went out, you give yourself a chance to go on and make a little headway into the college football playoff, but it's going to be very, very difficult for them to achieve their goal like this. Maybe they're going to have to win out, beat Florida State in the ACC championship. going to be a tough road ahead for those guys.
Definitely going to be tough. We discussed it on last week's podcast. Their schedule was absolute cake heading into the ACC championship game. You thought, hey, the Duke game, if Riley Leonard's healthy, that could be a tough one for the Tar Heels. But losing to Virginia at home, that is a bad, bad loss for Mack Brown, Drake May, Tez Walker, and those UNC Tar Heels. So their only hope now is running the table, beating Florida State in the ACC championship game, and then hoping for carnage elsewhere. But you know what, man? Florida State, they look good. Take care of business in a big way against Duke. Yeah, I know Riley Leonard got banged up again in that game, but they've got some dudes at wide receiver. Jordan Travis, I feel like, is severely under the radar. Trey Benson's a great running back, and they're physical on the defensive line. I think Florida State's got a great chance to make it to the college football playoff. If they run the table in the ACC and win out, I think they're in, regardless of what else happens.
Yeah.
I have a hard time having somebody convince me that if undefeated and ACC champs, Florida State doesn't deserve to get into the top four.
I watched the end of that game, the Florida State-Duke game, and yes, Riley Leonard got hurt, and so Duke kind of lost a little bit of their mojo late in the game, but man, dude, Florida State was fighting, man.
Yeah.
And they got dudes to throw the ball to, like you said. Jordan Travis is out there making plays, whether with his arm or whether with his legs. We talked about third down earlier in the episode. Man, they just found a way to just keep moving the chains and fight late in that game and end up running away with that game late in the game. So I think they're a good football team, and you can't let a team like that hang around.
No,
because they'll beat you because they got the dudes to do it.
Totally agree. All right, let's go out to the West Coast a little bit. First off, it was announced yesterday, College Game Day, heading to Salt Lake City to cover the Oregon at Utah game this week. And I think that's the only top 15 matchup of week 9 coming up. So Utah getting a little love. And why? Well, because they beat USC this past weekend. That's right. Utah knocks off Southern Cal. Southern Cal, second straight loss. No USC players, Jake, were made available to the media after their loss. And now it's being reported or talked about or discussed from a lot of talking heads around the college football media scene. Will defending Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams, who was projected to be the number one overall draft pick, just hang him up for the rest of the season and sit out and say, thanks, guys, but now that we've lost two in a row, I'm out of here. Good luck. I'm heading to the NFL.
Yeah, that'd be very crazy and interesting to see, in my opinion. A bowl game is one thing. To me, this is a whole different beast.
Yeah.
Can't say it's anything that I've ever considered or thought about. But I don't know. They do different stuff out there on the West Coast. I don't know. With USC, it's going to be very tough for them to give themselves a chance to fight their way into the college football playoff, especially with the way everything else is developing in the landscape of these really good football teams and probably only having one loss going into it. I thought that was very weird. Weird's the only word I can come up with about not having the players available for media.
Yeah, it says USC declined to make any players available after its loss to Utah. Only Lincoln Riley spoke with reporters after the game. That's just bizarre.
Yeah, that's weird. That's different. Not really something I've ever heard of either. Obviously, they didn't want to win. They didn't want to lose this game. I mean, at home again to Utah. Utah has their number. And then, dude, Utah keeps playing and fighting without their starting quarterback.
I know.
And they're playing good. Bryson Barnes, I mean, threw for over 200 yards with 3 touchdowns. He's playing good ball and just beat the former Heisman Trophy winner.
It's really unbelievable. And what would it take? I know the NFL is a bottom line business. I know the NFL is only about winning football games. Your character as a person really is overlooked if you're that good of a football player. When watching Caleb Williams, yeah, he's talented. Yeah, he's a great quarterback. Is he a surefire, bona fide all-star, all-pro at the next level? I don't know. And I'm not willing to sit there and say, this guy is a can't-miss pick. Will he probably be the number one overall pick? Yes. If he were to quit, let me rephrase that, quit on his team in the middle of the season because there's nothing left to play for and he needs to get ready for the NFL. I'm doing air quotes if you're watching on YouTube. He goes down a few notches in my book. This is way different than sitting out a bowl game. This is quitting on your team. When you came back, I guess he might have had to come back last year because he wasn't 3 years removed from high school. When you came back, you made a commitment to your team. Play football. Football players play football. I understand the quote-unquote business decision. But if it were a business decision, I'm doing the air quotes again if you're watching on YouTube, you shouldn't even have played at all this year. If you're that good, just sit out the entire season. Talked about this podcast seasons in the past. Micah Parsons and Ja'Marr Chase, two rookies of the year, both sat out their last season. It was the COVID years. They go, nope, we're done. We're not playing. And you know what? To that, I actually respect it because they said, I'm not playing at all. I'm not going to half-ass it and go play six games. And if we lose some, I'm out. They said, I have enough trust in my capability. I'm going to sit out the entire season, get ready for the NFL, and go play. Those guys made quote-unquote business decisions, and then they became offensive and defensive rookie of the year. To quit midway through the season is a totally different animal. I would have to think some personnel staffs in the NFL would look at it a little sideways, and I'll just top it off with this one more time. I am not completely sold on Caleb Williams being the guy in the NFL. I'm sorry. I've watched him enough, and you know what? Playing quarterback in the NFL is pretty damn tough.
It is. It is tough, man. It is a lot about situation, timing, getting the right opportunities. Dude, I'm glad you said what you said because I think you're on point, 100% right on. I do. I personally do think it's quitting, and I don't think it's a great look. And I think guys up here at the next level would question it a little bit. But if he's not one, he's still number two.
Yeah. I mean, look, yes, you're exactly right. And your situation is a little bit different than mine, but I would do anything to go back and play college football again.
Oh, like, yeah.
Giving that up every passing day, you look back and you go, damn, those were the glory days. That was the best. Like, that was the best. So to just poo-poo that, yeah, it rubs me the wrong way. I'll be the old man, get off my lawn, yell at the clouds type crusty guy, but it rubs me the wrong way. Enjoy what you have right now because there's no guarantees once you're done in college. So who knows what's going on at USC. Lincoln Riley, you got to figure it out. You've got to figure it out. Okay, I want to touch on two things that happened elsewhere.
Talk to me.
The University of Iowa. The ending of this football game was an unmitigated disaster on behalf of the officials. Yeah, the referees. Now, if you've been a longtime Punt and Pass listener, you know that I do not go lightly on officiating crews. However, the ending to this game, Minnesota's up 12-10. There's a minute 40 left. Minnesota is punting the football out of deep in their own territory. And it's a bad punt, short punt, wobbly punt. Iowa's return man, Jake, runs up and he is crossing his arms down below his waist, signaling what? A Peter call, a poison call, get away from it. This is a bad punt, telling his guys in coverage, in return coverage, get away, heads up, watch out. This ball's about to get on the ground. Well, as he's going towards the ball, and again, one hand pointing out towards the ball, the other hand down below by his waist, the ball bounces very favorably towards him. He picks it up, makes a crazy good move down the sideline, returns the punt for a touchdown with a minute 15 left. Iowa's up 17-12. What an unbelievable game. But wait a minute. The referee says the signal that he made with his hands was an invalid fair catch, and that when he touched the ball, it was a dead ball. And the play was over. An invalid fair catch. Let me just tell you right now, from high school up until professional football, you are taught that a fair catch is taking one of your hands, waving it over your head two times. That's what a universal fair catch signal is. You got to go back and forth. That counts as two times, and that's the fair catch. When you run up and call Peter, yes, you put your hands down below by your waist. You're screaming, get away from it. Poison, Peter, Peter, poison. Referee says invalid fair catch. Touchdown is negated. Iowa loses the football game. I could not believe what I had seen. Jake, it makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, absolutely brutal to be a part of the Iowa football team and obviously a fan too. I mean, you wish you would score a little bit more points on offense.
Yes, that goes without saying, correct.
So you're not in that situation, but absolutely brutal, in brutal fashion to lose that game. Because you've been a part of games too where you felt like, hey, we were in a position to win that game, but felt like we lost it due to officiating. Ultimately, you never want to leave the opportunity up into the ref's hands.
Yes.
You strive to get out of that window of, hey, I don't know, the ref can make a judgment call, and we want to get past that and dominate so well that it's not an issue. But sometimes, man, the margins are close and it's a tight football game and it comes down to the wire. And you just wish the officiating at times was a little bit better.
Now, Brandon Wood, a former Georgia defensive lineman, who's now an official. He is a football official. I forget what conference he's in. He might be in the ACC. He heard me on Atlanta radio this morning giving a colorful description of what happened with these referees essentially stealing a victory from Iowa. And he was laughing and he sent me the actual descriptions of the rules. And he said, we don't write the rules. We just have to enforce them. Now the problem might be the actual description of the rule of what an invalid signal is. I don't want to bore you with it, but it says right here, examples of invalid signals include a limp wave, partially extending and waving one hand in front of the face or chest, or fully extending and laterally waving both. I'm not going to get into that. Jake, you brought up the best point. Do not leave it into the official's hands to decide the outcome of a game. I've just never seen a Peter call be designated as an invalid signal, thus making the ball a dead ball. Not a penalty. It's just a dead ball as soon as it's recovered. It was tragic. The public thought it was surely a touchdown. The officials, I guess, by the rule book, enforced what they know. And it was crazy. Iowa loses that game. They have a great chance still to go to the Big Ten title game and play either Michigan or Ohio State, you would think. Absolutely wild.
So wild, man. Can't believe it.
Ohio State beat Penn State 20-12. James Franklin is now 1-9 against Ohio State. 1-12 against top 25 teams on the road. And I believe when he has played Michigan or Ohio State, when they are ranked in the top 10, he's like 1-14 or something crazy like that. Not a good trend if you're James Franklin trying to hold on to your job at Penn State. He's in his 10th year. They have great teams. They just can't get over the hump and beat top 10 teams, which you need to do if you want to make a college football playoff.
Yeah, man, you have to win the big one. At some point, you got to win a football game you're not supposed to win. I thought this was a great opportunity for them to go and beat these guys. I don't think Ohio State is overwhelming. They played really, really good defense, and they got some great receivers, but not all the time. It's super easy getting the ball to them. Man, Penn State was just flat on offense. I watched the beginning.
Drew Aller. Man, I thought he'd be way better than that at quarterback.
They just could not get anything going, and it was brutal. It was tough to watch. I mean, I guess you have to give a little bit of credit to Ohio State's defense.
Yeah, their defense looks good.
You know, it looks good, plays well. You know, Notre Dame had a tough time scoring on them and everything, but we gotta do better than that. I mean, quite frankly, I know you're on the road. Yeah,
gotta do it.
But we gotta be better. You know, I never, as a quarterback, like 20 points shouldn't beat me.
100%. Not in college football.
No, not absolutely. Not in college football. So, gotta find a way to move the chains, and and get it going. But I think James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions, they got to find a way to win a big one.
Got to find a way to win a big one. And if you're going for the big one in your life, in your personal life, and you're going to do that proposal, if you're going to shoot for that engagement, if you need to get the holidays right this season, you know where to find the big one. It's at Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Check them out. They got two awesome locations. One's in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other in Buckhead, 17th floor, Tower Place. They got the biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and these in-store experiences are totally unmatched. Head there with your significant other. They have a full bar in there. They've got a TV. If you're bouncing around on the weekend and you're afraid you might miss some action with some college football, go in there. Say hello. Get a cocktail. Walk around. You'll feel good. Your significant other will be happy. You'll get the big one right. And then you can mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake. You'll get 10% off your jewelry purchase. You can scout them out as well. Head on over at Salomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter. See what they have going on. Go to SolomonBrothers.com. You know, do a little online shopping first, then go in there with a game plan. That's what we teach you here on Punt and Pass. Salomon Brothers has the lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds, guaranteed. Again, at Salomon Brothers on Instagram, SolomonBrothers.com. Clemson lost once again, Jake. They dropped to Miami in double overtime. And Dabo, after the game, one, throws his quarterback under the bus, says he shouldn't have changed the play call, I believe, at the goal line. We were talking about this pre-show, but then a reporter asks him, hey, have you ever worked with a sports psychologist on your team? Do you guys have team sports psychologists? And Dabo, without skipping a beat, says into the microphone, oh, yeah, we've got him, and he might be on suicide watch right now. Now, I shouldn't laugh, but that is something you cannot say after losing your third ACC game through the first 8 weeks of the season, after saying into the media, maybe we should lose more games because the bandwagon's been a little full and we don't need all these people on the Clemson bandwagon. I don't know what to think about Clemson, but it seems like the game of college football has just passed him by.
He said, "What? Can you repeat that? He said, what about the bandwagon?"
So last week, people were asking him about all of the fan feedback of their not-so-good start. And Dabo Swinney legitimately said, and of course he's trying to be sarcastic, but yeah, sarcasm from a guy like Dabo probably doesn't come across so well at a podium. He said, maybe we should lose a few more games to get some people off the bandwagon because the bandwagon's been full for quite some time now. People are like, don't say that when your season's over. Like, their season is done. They are 2-3 in the ACC. Yeah. They've got no chance of going to the ACC championship. They've got no chance of going to the college football playoff. Dabo Swinney, knock, knock, who's there? I'm so confused as to what's happening right now at Clemson. I said this, I texted my buddy who played at Clemson, and I said, just looking at the guys on the field, compared to some of the dudes that have come out of Clemson in recent years, I said, it looks like a Young Life youth group put together a football team out there. I mean, they used to have some absolute ballers all across the field. And now it's like, where is it? I don't know. I'm confused because Clemson was just at the top for so long. And now you blink and they're struggling.
It's over. Yeah. No, man, I'm all in for the sense of humor. I love a good joke. I love keeping it light, keeping everybody on their toes. But there's a time and a place for stuff. And that's just not the time and the place for that one, especially that one. I mean, like you said, I mean, Clemson has had some absolute dudes come out of their program. And it does look like they're missing some guys in the trenches as well. Man,
yeah, big time.
Dudes on their defensive line in years past. And skill positions, obviously, you know, quarterback as well. But, you know, I mean, Kate's playing good, not great by any means. But they're definitely a different Clemson that we're not used to seeing. And, man, it's all over in a blink of an eye, and it can happen quick. So enjoy it while you got it. Speaking to Georgia fans.
Yeah, you think?
You know, enjoy it while you got it, because in a blink of an eye, man, it's gone.
Let's just go over this real quick, okay? And obviously it starts with two generational QBs starting for Clemson for 7-8 years, Deshaun Watson and then Trevor Lawrence. Like, you can get things cooking with those guys, especially in the ACC. But then let's go to the wide receiver position. DeAndre Hopkins, does that ring a bell? Hunter Renfrow, Mike Williams, Justin Ross, Sammy Watkins, Steve Higgins, like, ballers, okay? Dude. Now let's go to the defensive line. Shaq Lawson, Christian Williams, Isaiah Simmons, who was a linebacker, who was a top 10 draft pick. Now let's go to the quarterbacks, who we mentioned, Deshaun, Trevor. Oh, what about a running back like Travis Etienne, who's scoring 2 touchdowns a week in the NFL? Oh, Grady Jarrett. Yeah, I forgot about. I mean, they had so many players all across both sides of the ball, in the trenches, skill positions, DBs, wide receivers. You look at it now, you're like, okay, Will Shipley will be a good NFL running back. Cade Klubnik, I mean, I don't know. It's fascinating because you just related it to what could happen at Georgia. I don't think it will, but what could happen is that you could lose it in the blink of an eye, and you're back to middling 2-3 through 8 weeks in the conference football, which nobody wants to go back to. That happened when I played at Georgia. We don't want to go back there.
Yeah, it makes me think. I mean, you can miss on one recruiting class, but you can't miss on two in a row.
Nope.
You miss on two recruiting classes in a row, and you are fighting
big time
for games. Yeah,
big time. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Just announced week after this weekend, doubleheader on CBS, number 16 Missouri at number 1 Georgia, 3:30 p.m. SEC on CBS, rolling you right into LSU at Alabama, 8 p.m. CBS doubleheader kicks off with Georgia hosting Missouri and then Alabama hosting LSU. That is on Saturday, November the 4th. Last thing, Quinn Ewers, Texas quarterback, AC sprain in his shoulder. So looks like it could be Arch Manning time for Steve Sarkisian. I forget who the other backup is at Texas, but Sark came out today, said both of those guys will get reps, and we'll find out who gets the keys moving forward until Ewers can come back. You ever had an AC sprain? What's that like in your throwing
shoulder? Dude, I actually have, man. I got one at the tail end of my senior year of high school, and absolutely brutal, man.
Really?
Like somebody is stabbing you in the shoulder with a knife every time you go to throw the ball. Does not feel great because you just know, hey, this is going to hurt. Now, I didn't get any cortisone shot or anything like that. Just popped a couple Advil and said, hey, I'm going to go play and let's go tough this thing out. But played great the first half and then went in the halftime, chilled out a little bit, got a little tight. Dude, second half could not pick my shoulder up.
Oh, brutal. Brutal.
I was looking like Justin Fields back there, man. Catch the ball, looking to scramble.
Yes, yes, indeed.
How can I run?
Texas hosts BYU this weekend. Steve Sarkisian today. We're going to go through the week with Malik Murphy and Arch Manning, both getting first team reps. If the game was being played today, Malik would start the game. So maybe protecting Arch Manning a little bit. BYU, not a bad football team either. So
no. We'll
see what happens. Maybe the Arch Manning era begins in Texas. They're saying Quinn Ewers out probably, what would you say, 2 to 4 weeks maybe?
Yeah, I'd say at least two, but just depending on how bad he wants to kind of grind through it. I mean, I think you can play. It's just going to hurt like crap.
Last thing, Michigan now favored over Georgia to win the college football playoff national championship. Michigan plus 320, Georgia plus 325. First time this season, Georgia has not been favored to win the college football playoff. So
interesting.
Boy, we touched on it all. Thanks for the rapid fire fun there, Jake Fromm. You were on your toes, my friend.
Almost. We did talk about the Tennessee-Alabama game.
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about that. Let's talk about that real quick.
Absolutely. Dude, yeah. Tennessee in the first quarter, if they execute in the red zone and score the touchdowns instead of kick field goals, dude, they're up like that in the blink of an eye, and Alabama's down by 21. Like, what do you do? Like, And then they didn't convert. Refs kind of got in the way. Alabama came out in the second half and whipped their tail. I mean, I don't know. What do you got for me? Because I just – that was Tennessee's football game to win.
Yes.
And to me, they lost it.
Well, thank you so much for correcting me and bringing this up before I let you go, because we absolutely do need to talk about this game. I believe Alabama scored 27 unanswered points. It was 20-6 at halftime, I want to say. They ended up winning the game 34 to 20 was the final score, correct?
Yeah, it was 20-7 at halftime. Yep,
20-7 at halftime. Red zone inefficiency. It seems like it's a theme right now going around in college football. And if you don't convert in the red zone, you're not putting games away. Here is what I will say. Having a 13-point lead at halftime and then coming out in the second half and completely abandoning the run game is coaching malpractice. Shame on Josh Heupel. How on earth, and this is what Tennessee does best, run the football. If you watch the Texas A&M game, we all know Joe Milton's a little inconsistent. We all know that if he gets in trouble, he gets a little scatterbrained and he can't find the right read immediately. Tennessee can run the football with a 13-point lead at halftime on the road at Alabama, grind the game down. Slow the game down, muck it up, try to keep the ball. Do not give Jalen Milroe and Alabama the opportunity to score 27 unanswered points. It was shocking to me how poorly managed the second half of the game was by Tennessee. And of course, it gets exacerbated because they weren't able to convert in the red zone in the first half, which gave Alabama the opportunity to scratch and claw their way back. It was just one of those classic Alabama games where they said, if you're going to let us hang around for four, you won't be able to beat us. And that's exactly what happened.
And it could have been 21-0 in the first quarter.
Dude.
That is demoralizing.
I know. It's unbelievable, really. It truly is unbelievable.
And you talk about running the ball. Like, Joe Milton, I mean, is basically another running back.
I know.
He was their leading rusher. I don't know, man. You gotta win that one.
You gotta win that one. Oh, I know, man. I mean, absolutely. You've got to win that one. And again, just on the road, what are you thinking? How do you not come out of the second half and say, we're going to grind this thing down, and hopefully, you know, with 6-4 minutes left in the game, we're ahead and we have a chance to put this thing away? That is nuts, dude. That is nuts. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah.
It's a shame on Josh Heupel in Tennessee, because by all accounts, in the first half, they played well enough to win that game. And in the second half, Nick Saban came out and said, let's go ahead and take care of some business and get out of here with a W.
Outscored 27-0.
They didn't score in the second half.
So
that is wild.
You could bring up officiating, but if you don't score a point in the second half, I find it hard to side with you.
Yeah, my buddy Tony Morelli is a listener of Punt and Pass and a huge Tennessee fan. Like, he was trying to chirp me about the refs. Like, dude, no. You guys aren't scoring points. Like, I understand there's a call here, a call there. You got to get the ball in the end zone. Then we can have a discussion about the referees. And everybody knows how much I love to pile on refs. That was so, so bad in the second half by Tennessee. So now they moved to 2-2 in the SEC, 5-2 overall. Don't look now, but Jalen Milroe starting to find a little groove. Jace McClellan for Alabama, 27 carries, 115 yards. That was vintage Bama right there, man. Just squeezing the life out of the game in the second half.
As long as their offensive line plays well, they're going to be a good football team.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
For bringing that to my attention. I appreciate you making sure that I could get that in. Tennessee opened the second half with almost an 80% statistical probability of winning that football game, and they did not win that football game. Outscored 27-0 in the second half, losing to Alabama 34-20. All right, that'll do it for us. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. We're at puntandpass.com. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. Solomon Brothers is there for you whenever you need a big win on the home front. Head on over to Solomon Brothers. And if you mention Punt and Pass or myself or Jake, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. They got two awesome locations for you to check out. One's in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other, 17th floor Tower Place in Buckhead. They're online at Salomon Brothers on Instagram and Twitter, SalomonBrothers.com. The biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and the best in-store experience out there, Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
Man, I don't. It was a great weekend for college football, and going to be a great one watching the cocktail party this weekend. Yes, sir.
We will dive into that on Thursday. We appreciate you all tuning in, and we will talk to you later on this week. See you.
Yep.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballou here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.